Well, before I have the honor of bringing the word tonight, and before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are. You are just amazing. You are fresh, and you are new, and you are good every single day. There is nothing about you that gets old or stale or boring, and Lord, your word is described as bread that feeds us. You are the bread of life that feeds us. Your word is alive, it's living, and it nourishes our soul. And Lord, tonight I just ask for fresh bread for all of us, Lord, that you would just minister to us in a new way, a fresh way. Let me speak your word with truth and fire and passion and accuracy, Lord. You are awesome. Lead us into your truth. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We invite you. We desire you. We hunger for you. You are just welcome, God. Have your way tonight and show us more of who you are and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, like I said, I get the honor of sharing tonight on this wonderful Wednesday. And if you have your Bible or your smartphone, which I'm sure everybody has one of those, turn to whichever mode of transportation you're using to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to take a minute to get there too. Proverbs chapter 3. And the verse is that I kind of want to highlight first. And I'm going to read a bit from the whole chapter. But the part that I want us to focus on is starting in verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation right now. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, this is a very commonly quoted scripture in the Christian church, and it's kind of one of those that we just say it because we know it. But I feel like God wants us to get a deeper understanding of this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't just depend on your own understanding, but seek his will in everything that you do, and he will show you which path to take. And then if we keep going, it says in verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. And then we're going to jump to verse 11. It says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are far better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you with her own delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep foundations of the earth burst forth and the dew settled beneath the sky. And then we'll jump down to verse 26. It says, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. I want to go back, Peter, to just one more, just to verse 25. It says, you need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Now, I want to connect verses 5 and 6 and then directly to verse 26. So I'm going to reread that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Verse 26, for the Lord is your security, and he will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Now, we just read a bunch of verses about wisdom and how wisdom is so important. And, it, you know, we know in the Bible, Well, King Solomon, you know, God had offered him whatever he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom above fame, above money, above women, above stuff, above like being the greatest king ever, he just wanted wisdom. God gave him everything else. Because when we have wisdom, or in other words, seek his will, because God's will is always the wise way, always the right way. So those go hand in hand. It's like an interchangeable word. When we seek wisdom, or we seek his will in all that we do, he's going to show us which path to take. And God's way is always the good way. It is always the best way. And I love verse 26. And it's kind of one of those things where I had it underlined in my Bible, but I never really took the time. Like, do you ever read something in the Word and you can read it like 100 times and all of a sudden you read it and it's like, boom, it just like slaps you in the face? That's what happened with this. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. So God wants to lead us and guide us in our life, and we have to trust him. And trusting in the Lord means listening and obeying to what he says, listening and obeying what he tells us to do. And the title of this sermon, at least what God had put in my heart, is When God Says No, / Trusting the Lord. When God says no. Sometimes when we ask God something, and we should be asking the Lord, you know, it says seek his will in all that we do. So that means that we should be talking to God about every part of our life. God, should I do this? God, what do you want me to do today? Is this, you know, is this the right thing I should be doing? Or, you know, what's the right thing to do? And we all have dreams and desires and wants and wishes and whatever. And sometimes the answer that we get from the Lord isn't the answer that we want, but it's the answer that we need. Yeah? So sometimes we want the answer to be yes, and God says no. And sometimes we want the answer to be no, and God's like, yeah, do it. And regardless, you know, sometimes it hurts us, sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, but whatever answer God gives us, it's the right one. It's the one that we need. So sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says, just let it go. Sometimes he says, it's not the right time now, not right now. Sometimes he closes a door that we want to stay open. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't hear us or care about our dreams. It just means that he cares about us enough, or he cares about you enough to give you what you need, not just what you want. And that's a hard thing to swallow sometimes. It's hard, but correction / direction isn't an easy thing to swallow. I mean, you know, have you ever been to the fair? I'm sure you've all, I mean, some of us, or seen some kind of like rodeo event. Like, I like to watch the pigs when they show the pigs, and the little trainers have like this big board, and they're like hitting the pigs, like trying to get them to go around, you know, and the pigs are just going whatever and eating the grass, and they're there with like their sticks and their boards and trying to get them, and it's like, you know, the pig just wants to eat the grass. And sometimes I feel that, like, you know, not that God beats us, he doesn't do that, but sometimes correction isn't always easy. And when we're listening to him, sometimes the answer isn't always the one that our ears want to hear, but it's the one that we need. So a couple of reasons when I was reflecting and preparing this, God gave me a few, and I know that there's more, but just for sake of time and what he wanted me to share tonight, there were a few reasons he wanted me to share of why he would say no. So number one would be, sometimes it's for safety. It's to keep you safe. Sometimes the answer is no, to keep you safe. And this is a prime example. If you are a parent, or if you've watched, you don't even have to be a parent, if you've watched kids at all, you know sometimes they make ridiculous choices that you're like, you're gonna die if you do that. Like, you know, I've seen, you know, Sophia or the kids, you know, they're playing outside and there could be a ball or something, or maybe you've been driving and then all of a sudden the ball comes and then 1 second later, here comes the kid, and they didn't care that it went in the street, you know, but there was a really good example, you know, like you see the ball and you grab the kid and the kid starts screaming and crying because they want the ball. They don't see the car that's coming, but you do. because you know, you're older, you pay a little bit more attention. And sometimes that's how God does with us. You know, we see the ball and we're like, yeah, that's a good thing. And it's rolling and we're going after it. But then God's like, you don't see what I see. You don't see what I see. We don't see the bigger picture sometimes. Or like, you know, this past Sunday at prayer, we were done with prayer and Jacob wanted to climb up the stairs. And Connie's going after him. He is fast. Like, Jacob is fast. He is on the move. And he, like, in 1 second, he was from the room going to the stairs, and he is going to go up. And, you know, we stopped him, and he got mad. He got so mad because he wanted to go up those stairs. And we know, like, we see, you know, what's going to happen. Sure, you can make it up a few, and then when you turn to come down, to me, blah, 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 you know, down the stairs. But he wanted to do it, but it wasn't the safe thing to do. So sometimes God stops us for safety, to keep us safe. Sometimes the answer is no, not because it's bad, but because we aren't ready yet or because it's not the right time yet. So going back to the example with Jacob and the stairs, you know, he wanted to climb those stairs. Are the stairs bad? No, the stairs aren't bad. Do people climb stairs? Yes, people climb stairs all the time. I mean, you know, people, half the church just went up for classes and whatever. They went up the stairs. But he, at his point in his life and his development right now, is not ready to climb stairs. He is not ready to go up those stairs. So it's not a matter of what he's doing is bad. It's just he is not ready for it yet. So sometimes it's not a flat out no. It's like, you just need to wait. Just wait and develop a little bit more. The timing's not right yet. You're not developed enough yet to do it. And sometimes the answer is no because it's not the right choice for us. It's just not the right thing for us. And reflecting in my own life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in this, but at some point in my young adult life, I had crushes on people who were not Mitch, you know. I was once in a relationship, and I thought, like, yes, this is it. He's the right guy. And even though, like, everything inside of me, and there were, like, you know, red flags all over the place, my mind, I'm thinking of that song, you know, my mind is telling me no. But everything else was like, yes, yes, this is right. This is good. This is, you know, and it wasn't. And deep down inside, I knew it wasn't, but because I wanted it to be, you know, sometimes you try to force things, even though you know it's really not the right thing, but you want it to be. So we try to make it happen. Well, obviously, end of the story is I'm obviously not with that dude. And God had something that was way better for me. But I didn't know that. And at the time when, you know, things didn't work out, I was devastated. And it was like, God, you know, why did you let this happen? Didn't you know how much I cared about it? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and he's like, you don't see what I see. You don't see the bigger picture. I got something better for you. And you know what? If we could, you know, if we could be like God and like see all of time always and just be in every moment of time always, like, I thank God so much. I had seen that same guy years later and, you know, where he is in his life and what he's doing, like, God, you knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing, and I was so dumb. I was so dumb, and I, you know, writing soppy poetry in my diary and, like, being all emo about it, and God knew. God knew, and, like, man, God, I really dodged a bullet on this one, because if I would have forced something like this to happen, I would be in a mess right now. And, you know, God knew better. And he had way better for me. And I thank God that he directed me and corrected me. And you know what? You know, we don't always see the big picture. We don't always see the big picture, but God does, and he always wants and has the best for us. We just have to trust him. We have to trust him to listen to what he says. You know, you tell your kids to brush their teeth not because you want them to suffer for a minute, but because you want them to have teeth when they're 60, right? Like, you want them to be healthy. Like, I'm sorry you don't like the taste of toothpaste, but it's better for you. This is good for you. And that's kind of, sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes we don't like what God says, but it's what we need. It's what we need. And God never wants to hold us back. Sometimes when we get the answer, we feel like God, you know, maybe like he's stifling us, or we feel that disappointment, maybe that letdown. But God's answers are never to hold us back, but to give us the best. It's always for the best. Whatever God says is always for the best, and we can trust that. I want to turn to Luke 12. We're in Luke 12. Luke, my sticky Bible. Okay. I think I've got almost all the sticky pages out, which is nice. All right, Luke 12, we're going to start in verse 25. Says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. That is so awesome. God has been dealing with me. Luke 12, 31 has been like the theme of my heart. You know, sometimes we have those verses or things that God is just dealing with us about. And that has been like the thing that God has been dealing with me. Like, you know, like I have goals and desires for my life and things that I want to do and you know, things that I'm trying to work on right now and accomplish. And sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm like going nowhere in it. And it's like, you know, why is this not happening? I'm working really hard. Why am I not seeing the results that I want? Why is this not? And all the time as I reflect and I think about these things, it's like, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we put God first, that's not, you know, after our spouse, that's not after our kids, that's not after our job, that's not after whatever. That is, you put God first, you make time for him, you dedicate time for him in your day. And as hard as that is, I know that that's hard. I know that that's hard. You know, I'm busy a lot. And it's like, you know, you gotta make time for God. You gotta put him first. And he will direct your path. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. So everything else that we're worried and concerned about, when we're putting God first, when we're seeking him, what did Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, seek his will in all that you do, and he will direct your path. So when we're putting God first and seeking him, we get an infilling of his wisdom, and that will lead us into what we need to be doing on the daily. And when we're doing that, it's going to be a good direction. And he will bless us. He will bless us. Just like Solomon, when he asked for wisdom instead of everything else, God gave him everything else just because to bless him. And when we put God first and we make time for him first, he's going to give us the desires of our heart, and he will direct our heart too. And lead us, and it will always be for the best. Always. And one thing, let's go to Psalms 116. Psalms 116, an awesome promise that we can rely on. Psalms 116, verse 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice. God hears your voice. He hears your voice. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. God wants a fellowship with us, a relationship with us. You know, he wants us to seek him out, and he is there. When we pray, I love this. He bends down to listen. And you know what I think of when I think of that? I think of, you know, you see kids running around or whatever, and, you know, we have three kids, five and under, and it can get pretty busy. And Mitch comes home, you know, at the end of the day, and he's tired, and kids are running around, somebody's crying, somebody's naked, somebody's whatever, and it's just a mess every day. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I want to come home and just like, here are your slippers, babe, and here's the newspaper, and whatever, but that does not happen. And somebody, it's usually Noah, is like, Daddy, and he, you know, and he's like running around in his feet, and Mitch always, he puts down his bag, and he's like, what's up, Noah? And he just bends down, and he gets on his level, and he talks to him, and God does the same thing for us. In the busyness of life, you think that God doesn't care, you know, everybody's going crazy, the world's going crazy, people are acting stupid, and whatever, and yet, in all of that, God sets his stuff down, and he bends down to us and says, what's up, talk to me, I'm here for you. He listens to us. So when he listens to us and he answers, we got to take it, because if we do it our own way, guaranteed it's going to be messed up, like, pretty much, you know. A prime example, the example that always pops up in my mind was Abraham. Abraham, he didn't wait, you know, he had the promise. God had told him that he was going to be a father of many nations, waiting. You know, he was like a million years old already and waiting. And he got some bad advice from his spouse instead of listening to what God told him to do. And then they had Ishmael. And we are still in the mess of that today, you know, still causing problems. And when you make your own way instead of listening to God, it may seem good. Like, it may seem like a good idea, but if God is telling you no, even if it looks good, don't touch it. Because if God is telling you no, if you go ahead and do it anyways, you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Bad situation. A really good example of that in our life that we are currently experiencing, you know, we recently had only one vehicle in our family, and between Mitch going to work and me going to work and kids, you know, in practice and school and all these things, we needed another car. And we're like, okay, God, you know, we need a car. And like, yeah, this is really awesome. We've been praying, you know, we need this car. And we started looking, and we went to this dealership, and they had the van there. And we're like, yeah, you know, this is good. We're all pumped up. We were getting a good deal that we thought. And it was like, yeah. And inside, it was like, no, don't get this car. I was like, yeah, you know, we need a car, God, and we're here, and this one looks good, and it's a great price. This must be you. And in the back of, you know, in my heart of hearts, it was like, no, it's not. But sometimes we say stuff even though we're not hearing the stuff. It's like, oh, this must be from God, because this is really good, and it looks good, and it's nice, and yeah, we're going to get this. And Mitch and I both was like, let's pray about it. And I was like, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And it was like, don't get it. And I'm like, let's get it. And we did it anyways. And this van has been nothing but problems since we got it. Every piece inside of it is like falling off. And it constantly is making noises, and we don't even know where the noises are coming from. We've gone and had it fixed several times, and every time, and it's like, well, I told you not to. It's hard. And when we push our own way and make it happen, when the answer is no, even if it looks good, like it looked great. And then like we brought it home, and like 2 weeks later, I was looking at it. I'm like, rust right there. I didn't see that at the dealership. You know, and like looking around, like, what are all these little, all of a sudden, like all these little things that we didn't notice before. And it was like, well, I saw those. I told you. And it's like, oh, you know, who knows? I mean, and I've only had one vehicle previously to this van, and Mitch has had a couple, whatever. But in our relationship together, we've never had issues with a car like we've had with this one. And I know it's like, God, it's because we pushed our own way. And who knows? Who knows what would have happened if we had just really waited on God? You know, maybe somebody would have given us a car. And who knows? But I'll never know. We'll never know because we pushed it and we made our own way. So we are reaping the consequences of our disobedience. And we have repented. And it's like, God, I am sorry. And I have been striving in my life to, when he says no, no is no. Why? Because he always has our best interests in mind. It's not because he wants to, I'm saying no. You know, it's like, it's because he wants the best for us, always, always. So being outside of the will of God is a dangerous thing. It sets us up for failure, and it also removes the blessing, favor, and protection that we get, that we would otherwise have, you know. It's like you have the armor of God, and when you're in disobedience or purposely outside of the will of God, it's like you're lifting your armor up, and then we get mad when we're getting these darts and arrows, and things keep hitting us and bothering us and messing us up. And it's like, well, we're the ones here lifting our armor, running around in our underwear in the battlefield. It's like we gotta being in God's will and trusting in him, seeking his will, and then listening. Psalms 37:4. Says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. That's confirmation for the other ones that we've already read. Take delight in the Lord. If you take delight in something, that means that you want to do it. Some people take delight in exercising, okay? You know, and they love to do it, and it's and they make time for it every day. Some people take delight in playing video games or whatever, or cooking, and they, or their spouse or whatever, and you make time for it. If you love to do it, you make a way to get it done. And when we take delight in the Lord, we make a way to get time with him every day, and he will give us our heart's desires. And then if you drop down to the next verse, it says, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. Does this sound familiar? These two verses are basically a reflection of Proverbs 3, almost exactly. You know, just worded a little bit different. It's saying the same thing. If we trust the Lord with all of our heart, seek his will, he's going to lead us and guide us in a good way. And I want to read this from the Amplified version, verses 4 and 5, from the Amplified. Oh, shoot, my thing just scrolled without me. Okay. So in the Amplified version, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Lean on, rely on, and be confident in him, and he will bring it to pass. So we can be confident that even when the answer is no, or the answer isn't what we wanted to hear, we have to be confident in knowing that he is wanting to bring good things about in our life. And whatever the situation is, his answer is to help facilitate that. It is always going to be for our benefit, for our growth, for our increase. Because, you know, we're his representation of himself. And he wants to make himself look good. Why would he want us to look bad? Because we're a reflection of him on the earth. So he wants us to be prosperous, to be blessed, to be, you know, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, because that's who he is. And when we listen to him, we get the benefits of that. So leaning and trusting him is the best way. He sees the desires of our heart. He hears our cries. our tears, you need to know that your tears and the cries of your heart are not overlooked. They are not overlooked by God. And he always is there when we need him because he is our loving and great Abba Father. He loves us. He loves us so much. He bends down to hear us. And it's okay to hurt when the answer is no. It's hard to swallow when God says no. You know, God designed us to have emotions, and that also includes the emotion of sadness, of being hurt. I mean, even Jesus himself was grieved and vexed. I mean, that's part of the way that God designed us to be. And the pain that we feel is okay because that's the moment of our transformation, because it's in our pain, it's in our discomfort that we make the choice of what to do. We can get bitter, we can get angry, we can force our own way and start kicking down doors, or we can allow him to come in and change our heart and open our eyes to the situation and grow us. I mean, in our hurt is the perfect opportunity to allow him to come in. The word says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know, he wants us in every aspect and in every emotion, and he understands. You know, just like when that kid runs out into the street and the parent grabs him and he starts crying and the parent comforts him and says, you know, I didn't want you to get hurt. I want you to stay safe. Do you see, you know, that car that's coming? I love you so much. I just want you to be safe. You know, it's the same way with God. He wants to pick us up even when we're in our discomfort and comfort us, and to, you know, he wants to show us also what we don't see. I always think of Elisha and his servant. You know, they were camping somewhere, and then like the enemy came in. And the servant had gone outside, and then he freaked out because he saw all these chariots and warriors and all these people. And he went in and he got Elijah, and he's like, they're all around. And Elisha prayed, you know, open his eyes that he can see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw, you know, the chariots of fire and the armies of the Lord, like, all around them. And Victoria Bowling had been here the last time that they were here. She had shared a message on that, and I don't remember the whole thing, but the one thing that stuck in my mind since then was that she prayed, Lord, show me what I don't see. Show me what I don't see. And when we have those situations of hurt, when we're in pain and we're, you know, it's hard on our heart, cry out to the Lord, ask him, show me what I don't see. Show me what I don't see. He wants to reveal his secret things to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. So ask him. If you're hurting and he said no, then be like, God, you know, show me what I don't see. Help me to understand. I trust you. I'm going to obey you, but Lord, help me. And he will. He will. He will help you. So trusting the Lord can be hard, but he always wants what's best for us. Luke 11:11-13 from the Amplified Version. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, what father among you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts, and then this is the kicker, gifts that are to their advantage, to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? I love that. Gifts that are to their advantage. God wants to give us gifts that are to our advantage, not just to be, but to help us, to grow us. And he wants to give us, I mean, we read in the other verse that God wants to give us the kingdom. He delights in giving us the kingdom. He delights in us, gifts that are to our advantage. God sees and knows everything. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it, how we need it, and who we need it from. God knows it all, everything. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for as many as there are promises of God, they all find their yes or their answer in him who is Christ. For this reason, we also utter amen, which means so be it, to God through him in his person and by his grace, by his agency to the glory of God. So all his promises in Christ are yes and amen. all of them. It is so good, so good. And for this reason, we say amen, or so be it to God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. So we know that God's promises to us are always good. The word says that they, you know, that his will for us is always for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. So we can trust God in that whatever he says, it's because he wants to give us good things. Are we good? Like, are you guys feeling what I'm feeling? Like, this is, you know, God wants us to know that even when you don't feel like you're getting the answer that you want, he is still listening to you. He still cares about you, and he is growing you. And he wants us to trust him. Trust him even in the no. Trust him even in the not yet or the let it go. He wants us to trust him. Trust him. And I love in the message, it says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In the message, I love that. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. That's good. So good. Well, I just want to, I have a few scriptures that I want to read about God's promises. And sometimes, you know, people say, like, don't take my word for it, you know. And it's like, it's not me. This is, like, I had a lot of notes and other things that I've been like, yeah, this would be good to share. And, you know, sometimes, like, God will be speaking something to me, and I'm like, you know, I feel like this will be like something that he wants me to share at some point. But it was like a random, all of a sudden, it was like, what to do when God says no. So I know that there's at least one person here that is needing to hear this tonight. And I want to just seal this with some of the word, because the word is truth, and it leads us and guides us in our life, and it's going to seal the deal. So God wants to prove to you through his word that it's for good. He is for good for you. So 2 Peter 1:4, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read through these. We're going to have them up on the board. You can write them in your notes if you're taking notes. 2 Peter 1:4 says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Jeremiah 29:11. So I just quoted this one. For I know the plans I have for you. Okay, can we say that? God knows the plans he has for me. Just say that to yourself. God knows the plans he has for me. He knows the plans that he has for me. There's nothing that, you know, you are not a mystery to God. Like, you may be mysterious, or nobody may understand you, or whatever, but you are not mysterious to God. He understands you. He made you. He designed you. He knows how you're wired inside and out. And he knows, and he already designed a plan for you and for your life. So even if nobody else gets you, God gets you, and he has a design for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. Everybody say for good. For good and not for disaster, to give you a future. Say a future. And a hope. We can have hope even through the hard times, that when we trust God and we listen to him, good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, these are promises. These are promises of the Lord. Isaiah 40:29-31. Says he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those are promises for those who trust in the Lord. They will find new strength. Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. All of his promises are yes and amen through Jesus. And God's never in lack. He's not like, oops, sorry, you know, that person got the last blessing today. Come back later, you know. We're going to make a fresh batch in the morning. Come at 6 o'clock. Like, no, God never runs out. His well never runs dry. He is always there, ready to listen to us. Hallelujah. We just got a couple more. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. Say, it's mine. It's mine through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. It is ours. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 1:33 says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. But what's the kicker? All who what? Do their own way? All who, you know, kick down doors? No. All who ignore what I say? All who listen to me, says the Lord, will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. We don't have to be afraid when we're in the Lord, because what did Proverbs 3 say? That he is our security. And he keeps our feet from falling into a trap. So if you want to know what's the secure way to go, ask God and do it. Like, I mean, it sounds silly, but I try to listen to him even in the dumb stuff. I was at Food City today, and I was like, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at all these bunches of bananas, and this sounds dumb, right? Okay. And I'm like, you know, God, which bananas should I get today? That's dumb. But I listened and I got one and I was like, nope, not that one. I'm like, okay. And then I got another one. And I was like, okay. And I got that one. But who knows? Have you seen those videos on Facebook? I saw one where like this giant African spider popped out of a banana. It scarred me for life. Like the thing was like, and then it came out. Like, who knows? There could have been like a caterpillar in one of those bananas or whatever. Like, I don't know. But I trusted God and I listened, you know, or dumb stuff. Like, but it says, trust the Lord in all that you do. In all that you do. And if we are faithful in the little things, he can trust us with the bigger things. And to me, in my own, you know, that may seem like childish, but if I can be faithful in like the little things, like which bunch of bananas do you want me to get, God, then it'll be easier for me to listen and recognize his voice when it's a bigger thing, because I'm practicing in the little. And so the bigger is not going to be so big when that time comes. You feel me? And so as weird as that sounds, and like that, you know, it doesn't say in there, like, ask God which bananas you need to pick. But to me, it's exercising my own faith. And so whatever in your life you need to do to start exercising your faith and start, you know, exercising listening to the voice of God, do it. Like, do it. And it'll bless you. And as silly as it sounds, like, I'm talking to God even if it's about stuff that doesn't even really matter. But it matters to him because he wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. And God wants to be our best friend. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be your spouse that's maybe your earthly friend, you know, or you may have a best friend, but God wants to be our best, our bestest, best, BFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF something that's been challenging me is like, I want to get closer to God. And sometimes we get so religious about it, like what that means, that it just becomes an overwhelming thing. Like, how can I get closer to God? I was like, just talk to him. Just talk to him and listen to him. That's it. You know, and do what he tells you to do. It's not some religious code that, you know, gets unlocked when we get to level 33 or whatever. Like, that's not how it works. We just open up your heart to God, and he wants our childlike faith. Like, just talk to him and listen to him. Sometimes I'll be driving and I'm going down the road and it's like, turn here. And so I'm like, okay. And I'll do that instead. And who knows? You know, someday when I get to heaven, like, I'm like, God, why did you want me to turn there? Well, there was a cat that was going to cross, or you would have gotten in a car accident or whatever. Like, I don't know. You know, there are so many things that when we get to heaven, it'll be interesting to see, like how God saved us or helped us and we didn't even know. So John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will or his way, his wisdom in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. It doesn't say he will make you do it. He says he will show you. He will tell you. But the crazy thing about God is that he loves us so much that he lets us make our own decisions. How good is that? Like, you know, he loves us enough to let us choose, which is crazy, because it's like God is God. He could just make us all serve him, you know? He could just make us all bow down and worship him. He could just like boom, you know, and make us all but it's like he wants our heart. And you don't win a heart by forcing, you know? He just wants us. And so tonight, I just wanted to encourage you that if you are having a tough time in an area of your life, whatever it would be, God wants you to know that you can trust him, and he wants you to trust him. And he says to you, lean on me, lean on me, lean on me, lean on me, and you will see the path you need to take to victory. Lean on me and you will see the path to take to victory. It may not be the same as somebody else. It may not look conventional like what everybody else has done. But when God says go, go. I read that verse in Isaiah where Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord, and I stopped one verse short. And the next verse, it said that the Lord said, who will go for us? And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. And when we trust him, he wants us to listen to his voice, and he wants us to go, you know, do what he says, because it'll always be for good, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that this ministered to you in some way, because this was like a clearly, it was God, not me, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. And that's all I can say. If you get one thing out of tonight, he wants you to know. He says, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, and you will see the road to take to victory, the path to take to victory. He wants to lead you into your victory, but just let him lead you. Hallelujah. If anybody needs prayer for anything specific in their life, I mean, if you have something that you want to pray for, I invite you to come and we will pray. Otherwise, I'm going to, you know, close in prayer. Patty is going to be flying back to Ohio tomorrow morning. So we will say a special blessing and prayer over her and her travels. But yeah, if you have a prayer in need of anything in your life, or maybe you don't want to come up here, but if you just want to say whatever it would be, we're just going to go to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. Lord, you are great and you are awesome. You are perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect. There is no fault in you. There is no mistakes in you. You cannot make mistakes. You can never tell a lie. And your promises for us are always yes and amen through Jesus. They are always to give us a future and a hope. And right now, Lord, I just ask that each and every one of us in those areas of our life that we're having a difficult time understanding, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our heart, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand, Lord, what you are doing. Show us what we don't see. We trust you, Lord. We submit. I just ask, Lord, that you would help each and every person here, myself included, that you would help us to submit to your loving hand, because that's what it is. It's not a hand that beats us into submission, but it's a hand that is extended in love, wooing us to be closer to you, God. Help us, Lord. Help us to live a life worthy of you. Help us to obey you regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel. Let our answer always be yes and amen back to you. Yes and amen. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Where you go, Lord, we'll go. What you tell us to say, God, we'll say. We love you. Help us, Lord. Help us. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need more of you. Amen. Well, Patty, I want to ask for you to come, if you can, come up here. And I just want to invite anybody that feels led, we're just going to pray for her and give her a special blessing as she is going back to Ohio, that she would just carry the love and the awesome power of the Lord with her. So if whoever wants to come, all right.